Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take. And this edition of The Local Take is being brought to you by Nationwide Insurance. And I'm talking to Derek Campbell. Derek Campbell, welcome.
Thank you, Kiplin. Welcome. Glad to be here.
Well, this is another edition of our financial shows for our listeners. And this month, September, is Life Insurance Awareness Month.
Very much so, and I'm eager to get this message out.
So, let's start. I know the first excuse that almost anyone would say about life insurance is that I got that at work, so I'm good. So, are you good? Why do you need more insurance if you've got it from your employer?
First, let me say I'm glad to have it from their employer. That's a great opportunity to buy life insurance at a very low rate. And generally, the underwriting for that is very simple because it's a group type situation. But here's the challenge, Kiplin. If you leave that employer, you don't take that life insurance with you. So everybody needs their own policy. And to determine how much you need, we just need to do a simple needs analysis to determine what that is.
So you would need a policy to supplement your employer's policy, or the real problem is that it's not something that's portable?
The real problem is not portable. I would say more than supplement. I would say your personal policy needs to be the main policy and your employer policy should supplement that, because the fact of the matter is, if you leave that employer, you do not take that life insurance with you.
And in our transient society today, a lot of people are leaving for better opportunities, our entrepreneurship, all kinds of things. And so then you're kind of stuck.
Exactly. The last statistics I heard on that, we stay on our jobs about 4.5 years. So just think about that. If I've got $100,000 on my employer and I leave him after 4 or 5 years, then I don't have any coverage at that point in time. And the thing about life insurance, the younger you get it, the better. The better rate, the easier the underwriting process is going to be. So I strongly recommend all your listeners to make their policy the main policy and the employer policy a supplement to that.
Now, the other question that comes up, and this is something that I'm not even sure I understand, the difference between permanent life insurance or term life insurance. Could you share with our listeners exactly what the differences are and what that means to a policy that you may have?
Definitely. And that can be confusing. And depending upon the age of the individual for life insurance, the difference can mean substantially in terms of cost. First, I'm explaining the difference between the two. I like to think of term life insurance as renting an apartment or renting a home. It's temporary coverage that you get for a certain period of time. And after that term is up, the life insurance is up. Permanent insurance is like buying your home. You buy it, you own it, and usually it goes up to age 95 to 100. Now, on the term side, there's many advantages to the term side. And, of course, there's disadvantages, too. The one disadvantage of the term policy, it's a set period of time. It could be 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, depending upon the situation. Now, the good side about term insurance is that the cost is usually low. So if you have a young couple just starting out, they need life insurance, especially on the husband or the wife, I strongly recommend term insurance because their budget could be a little tight and they do need some coverage. On the flip side, the permanent policy, the one negative of the permanent policy is the premium can be a little bit higher. So sometimes that may not fit into your budget. But the positive to it, in most cases, is going to be up to age 95 or 100. It also gives you two benefits. The first benefit, of course, is death. Just like term insurance, if you die, your beneficiary is going to receive a nice big check. But the other benefit of permanent insurance, it gives you cash value. So it's a living benefit that you can use to borrow against or take money out of the policy in case you need it. Now, when individuals die on the term policy, of course, if it's $100,000, that person is going to get $100,000, the beneficiary. On the permanent side, there's two types of option. You can go option one, which means the policy, the beneficiary is going to get the term amount, which could be $100,000. Or you can go option two, which you can get the death benefit amount plus the cash value. So it really depends on the individual, where they are in their life, what their budget is like. But the main thing here, Clifton, is that we've got to buy life insurance.
Now, Derek, you mentioned a term that I'm not that familiar with. You said a living benefit. Share with our listeners again exactly what that is and how that makes a difference in your life insurance.
Sure, I'd be honored to. Well, most people think of life insurance, it only pays if I die. And which that's what it's for. You know, you have a breadwinner that's making, you know, $50,000, $60,000 a year. If he dies unexpectedly or if she dies unexpectedly, that income has to be replaced. And life insurance is the best way of doing that. So I can buy a policy on an individual that can pay $1 million. But what if you live? You know, so a permanent policy has a living benefit called cash value. Within that cash value, as you make your premium payments, the values in that policy in terms of cash builds up. Now, you can't take 100% out, because if I take 100% out of the policy lapses. But I can take to a certain amount up in terms of a loan that comes against the policy. Now, by doing it by a loan, there's no tax consequences to that, and it's your money. You don't have to pay it back, but they will charge you the interest on the money that you borrowed.
Okay, so living benefit. We all hopefully learn something new about insurance. Now, if you have life insurance, will your beneficiary still be able to make a claim on your Social Security?
Yes, very much so. Life insurance is just a tremendous advantage. And I'm gonna answer that question in a long way, because this is important. First of all, you can have a claim on Social Security, which if someone dies, Social Security is going to pay $250, believe it or not, on the life insurance side. But life insurance, what it does, it leaves a legacy. What better way to leave your children and your children's children hundreds to millions of dollars through life insurance? It's tax-free, which is a tremendous event. It passes to your beneficiary tax-free. Now, it can affect the estate if the estate has a certain value, but most people it won't affect. So it passes tax-free, and you can leave a legacy for your children. So the answer to your question is yes, you can still apply for the Social Security, and you can still get the life insurance portion off your policy.
Now, you mentioned that the younger you are, the better the rates and the better it is to start young.
Yes.
But a lot of times if you start young in good health and your health changes, if something happens, you become disabled, disease, you know, chronic disease, what then happens to that life insurance?
Great question. Again, I want to keep emphasizing this. Buy life insurance young. Everyone is listening to me, buy it young. Now, here's the question. If I buy it at age 18, 19, or 20, and at age 40, I become sick, whatever the case may be. Whether you buy a term policy or a permanent policy, there's a difference in that. If I buy a term policy, and a term is set for 10 years, so if I buy it at age 20, it lapses at age 30, during that 10-year span, I have a period where I can buy another policy without going through underwriting, without doing any medical alert. So that's an advantage. So if I get sick within that 10 years, I can convert that policy to a permanent policy. The insurance company does not do any medical records, so I can do that. Now, the disadvantage of that term policy is if I wait, and I wait past that 10 years, I got to reapply. When I reapply, I'm reapplying at my attained age at that time. So I started at 20. Now I'm applying again at 30. I'm 10 years older, and I'm going to pay more for premiums, and I have to qualify again. But if I do it within that 10 years, then that gives me an advantage. Of course, on the permanent side, I don't have to worry about that at all, because it's usually for life, and a lot of them up to age 95 or some up to age 100.
That is really good news, because I know a lot of people, that's something that comes up. Now, you're talking about buying it young. If you buy it at 20, then when you hit 40, does your premium increase if it's a permanent policy? How does that work? Does it increase the older you get? Or if you get that permanent policy at 20, you pay that 20-year-old rate for the life of the policy?
Correct. It does not increase. You know, they're going to lock you in at the rate that you're paying. That's why the younger you buy it, the less expensive it's going to be. The older you buy it. Classic example, this is just an example. If I'm 20 years old and I buy a term policy or I buy a permanent policy of $100,000, I can pay as less as $15 a month, $20 a month. I'm 60 now. That same policy is going to cost me over $300 a month, because actually I'm closer to his death than the 20-year-old. So the premium is fixed throughout the life of the policy. Now, there are some policies out there, and they're very few, that the premium can't increase or decrease, but that's very few. Majority of the policies are fixed rate over the term of the life of the term policy, and they're fixed over the total amount of the permanent policy.
Now, should people take into consideration heredity? I mean, because if you get a term policy for till 70 and everybody in your family has lived to 95 and then you're stuck at 70, you know, trying to figure out what to do, how do you decide what kind of policy, that term or permanent? Is it more your lifestyle, your health, your heredity, or is it what you can afford?
Wow, that is a great question. Great question. And the answer is yes. When you sit down with your financial advisor, you have to do what's called a needs analysis. We have to determine, first of all, the type of policy, the affordability of the policy. That is crucial. The only way I'm going to do that is know your need. Now, when I do that needs analysis, I'm going to ask you several questions, such as how much you want to spend on your final expenses. Do you have children? Do you want those children to go to college? What is the total mortgage on your home? In terms of your income, what do you make? How much do you make in terms of your income? And of course, expenses. How much do you owe? Life insurance is designed to make you whole. So if you have a breadwinner who is making, and I'm making this number up, let's say he makes $100,000 a year. And in 10 years, he's going to bring in $1 million. And they have a $300,000 home. They have two children. They want to send to college. They want a decent burial. And they have expenses. They have credit card debts, anything like that. If that breadwinner passes away, you want to make sure that that family can remain whole. They can stay in their home. They can keep their cars. Income is coming in. They can pay off all their debts. Because one thing I know, when my wife passed away, and I'm in the business, I was a zombie. The emotion of that was like, wow. And so you don't want to make financial any decisions at that time. But how great could it be to an insurance agent or financial person hand you a life insurance check of $1 million or $2 million? That way you can stay at home, you can grieve, you can get an understanding about the situation, and then you can make choices. But unfortunately, this is what happens. We don't have life insurance. The families are getting together, trying to get as much money together. You got to go to work, back to work right away. You can't pay your debts. So you're scrambling. You go to bankruptcy. You can't grieve. And medical problems start happening because it starts affecting your health. So it is urgent that you do a needs analysis. Everybody needs to sit down with their agent and do a needs analysis. It probably takes maybe 30 minutes, hour tops of your time, but it's so critical.
Now, in life insurance, are there exclusions? So would you have to make sure that your life insurance is going to cover you for any and everything? Or if you live a long, healthy life and all of a sudden you're disabled or all of a sudden you've got cancer or some debilitating disease, are you now going to be excluded? Or how do you make sure that you're not excluded because life has happened?
Well, the answer to that question is no. At the initial consultation or the initial needs analysis, when I'm sitting down with my agent, the agent is going to go over several questions with you. He's going to determine or she's going to determine how much life insurance you need. And then there's an underwriting portion about that, too. When I fill out the application, I'm going to ask you health questions. And once I get the answer to those questions, then I'm going to determine how to proceed forward. Now, at that initial application period, if you had cancer or if you have cancer or if you have some disease of this nature, it can affect your ability to be approved for the life insurance. But once the life insurance policy is in force, there's no exclusions. It's going to pay in case you're untimely death to your beneficiaries, no questions asked.
So that's another real reason to get it young.
Exactly, exactly. Now, one more point I want to make. Let's say we're at the application stage, you and I find out you do have cancer, or I find out you do have some chronic disease. There's a policy that you can buy that's guaranteed issue. As long as the doctor has not said to you you're going to die in 6 months, as long as a doctor or as long as you haven't been declined life insurance in the last 6 months. If the answer to those two questions are no, we can still issue you a policy. Now, what's the drawback to it? Because everything has a drawback. The premium is going to be extremely high because the insurance company is taking on a big risk. The other drawback is this. If you die within the first 24 months, the insurance companies will only pay you back the premium that you paid in plus interest. If you live past the 24 months, then it pays the death benefit. So what I just said to everybody, everybody can be covered for life insurance. No matter what your situation is, we can get a policy for you.
Now, you've mentioned that you will ask health questions. Mm-hmm. And I know even sometimes on jobs, I've had to actually go to a medical office and they do medical tests. Do you have to do the medical exam to qualify for life insurance? Or I guess when do you have to do, you know, a medical exam? When can you get the, you know, answer the health questions and give your information? And when is it that you actually have to go into a medical facility for testing?
I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but I got to keep saying this. Buy it young. When you buy it young, there's no medical examination. None whatsoever. None. And depending upon the value, and of course, if I buy a $5 million policy, and I don't care how young you are, they're going to want some, a few more questions. But if I buy it young, there's no medical examination. But let's say I'm in my 30s or 40s, okay, and I buy a life insurance policy. You may not need a medical examination there either, depending upon how much you buy. All insurance companies have a break point on what you buy. Like with Nationwide, when I buy over $100,000 worth of coverage, if I buy $99,999, there's no medical examinations. And as long as I say no to certain questions, there's none. There's none. The policy being issued in less than 2 weeks. When I get above that, based upon the age, there's a medical examination that might be required. Now, that examination means a nurse comes out to you, wherever you are. We're going to take your blood, your urine, your measurements. And depending upon your age, like the older gentlemen, older ladies that are in my age bracket, they may require EKG and some other things. But again, I'm going to revert back. The younger you are, the better to buy. But unfortunately, a lot of young people think, well, I'm going to live forever. You know, I don't need life insurance. But that's the time to buy it. So you grandparents out there, you parents out there, buy it for your children now. That's important.
I never thought about that. So we could actually help some of the young folks in our family as they're getting started by investing in a life insurance policy at that $15 to $20 a month.
You can. As long as they're insured for interest in the person, you can buy a life insurance policy on them, yes.
That's something I think we need to consider. That's a nice graduation gift.
Yes, it would be. It would be.
Okay. That brings me to cost. How can you save money with life insurance without impacting your economic abilities and your spending abilities? How do you make it work with saving money and also having the life insurance?
There's several ways to do that. One thing I love about life insurance is that literally, and I mean this literally, you can design a life insurance package to meet most budgets. What do I mean by that? We talked about that needs analysis, which is essential. Everybody needs to get a needs analysis. Once I'm doing a needs analysis, I'm going to determine two things. The first thing I'm going to determine is how much life insurance you need. That's very important because if a family breadwinner is lost, we want to make sure that family stays whole. So that's the first thing I'm going to determine, the need. The second thing I'm going to determine is affordability. So as an example, let's say the need is $5 million. And let's say I got a 40-year-old male that needs $5 million for life insurance. And that cost could be $400 or $500 a month. And he says to me, Derek, there's no way I can afford that. Then it's quite simple. Then I'm going to look at those areas that I did the needs analysis on. I'm going to look at his income. I'm going to look at his mortgage, his expenses. And I'm going to ask the customer one big question. What's the most important thing here? Replacing your income, keeping your family in your home, whatever the case may be. Once he determines what that is, then I'm going to zone in on that. And then I'm going to say to him, okay, we need to replace your income at $1 million. The total need was $5 million, but we're going to hone in on $1 million. That's going to reduce the price. And then I'm going to do a budget, I'm going to do an illustration based upon that $1 million. Now, once I do that, the price is going to go from, and I'm making these numbers up, of course, from $500 to $100. Then I'm going to ask the potential client, can you afford the $100? If they say to me no, I'm going to look them straight in the face and say, what can you afford? Literally, what can you afford? And in most cases, because we all know there's no absolutes in life, in most cases, if they tell me $50 a month, I can put together illustration of life insurance based upon $50 a month. Because remember, something is better than nothing. So if $50 is what you can afford in your budget, I'm going to put a life insurance illustration based upon that. And then I'm going to ask them a very important question. if I could put this plan together for $50, would you buy it from me today? And that's how you do it.
I mean, I think this is an amazing thing because maybe it won't replace the salary, but it'll give you enough to stay where you are. Or it might not pay off the house, but it'll give you enough that you can afford the mortgage.
Correct.
So you can make decisions and make choices based on, as you said, what's really the most important thing for you to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is all good news as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Campbell.
Thank you.
Now, you mentioned the length of policies. And again, I know, you know, people get policies that last until they're 70 or 75. How do you determine the length of the policy that you should get?
It's going to be based upon the individual, literally, and based on the individual's budget. Now, if I could have my way, I would have people buy permanent policies. I would, because they're up to age 95, 100. But unfortunately, sometimes people can't afford that. And I get that. I get that. So we have to sit down and determine what's best for the client based upon the needs and knowledge and their budget. And once you do that, you determine the length. For example, if I have a very young couple, let's say they're in their early 20s or middle 20s, and they're just starting out. You know, in most cases, a term policy is going to be the best fit for them. Now, if they're in great health, then I'm going to recommend a 10-year. Or 20 is the most. I won't go 30. That's too long. Because within that 10-year span, I'm going to want them to convert to a permanent policy. Because normally, when you're younger, first starting out in your careers, you normally make money as you get, make more money as you get older. So as they make more money, I'm going to come to them and say, listen, life happens, life changes. Let's sit down and do the needs analysis too. Because they're a young couple, they normally don't have children. A child comes, need more life insurance. They buy a home, need more life insurance. They buy a car, need more life insurance. They have to take in aging parents, need more life insurance. So these things happen, and as they happen, we want to increase the coverage. But more importantly, we want to move from term to permanent.
Now, you mentioned those that young couple, if they take out a $500,000 policy and at 50 or 60, does that increase with inflation? So does, you know, $500,000 today is different from $500,000 in 20 years.
Yes.
Are there adjustments for inflation and cost of living increases in those policies?
There are riders and types of policies that you can buy to reflect on that. That's a very good question. The answer to the question is yes. The challenge you're going to have is that initial consultation that you have to have some foresight and see those things. But yeah, there are policies that they're called COLA, cost of living. There are policies that have increases in terms of the amount they pay out. So that's that question is yes. And we just have to do that at the initial consultation. Now, let's keep in mind, if I have a young couple, or let's say I have a middle-aged couple, 40 years old, life changes. So during those changes, we can always go back in and do another needs analysis to adjust things. And the age is so important because as you get older, you want to make sure certain things lock in. Even though $500,000 today will be less than tomorrow, it's better to know I'm getting $500,000 than not knowing I'm getting anything at all. So you got to be very careful because life insurance can work on a variable product too, which means that it goes through it mirrors the stock market. So we got to be careful of that as well. So the answer to your question is yes.
Derek Campbell, I just want to thank you again for taking the time to come and share this financial information with our listeners. We know in our communities, a lot of times we don't get that financial education, you know, at the table with our parents. But this is information that all of our listeners can use in one way, shape, or form. So once again, please share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they want more information or if there are other organizations that they can reach out to learn about life insurance.
Sure. First of all, I can be reached at the Derek Campbell Agency. We're located at 2256 Mount Zion Road in Jonesboro, Georgia. Our number is 770-603-2457. That's 770-603-2457. I have a division just for life and financial. That's how important to me. And that division is run by a gentleman named Derek Griffin. And he has 20 or more years of experience in that. So, yes. And, of course, on the web as well. This is Life Insurance Awareness Month in September. And I just want to urge everybody out there, it is so important to buy life insurance because it's the one vehicle that you can use to pass from generation to generation. Just think about this for 1 minute. For every dollar, I can pass $100, $200 to my beneficiaries. What other vehicle out there? Nothing on the stock market. You can't buy real estate that's going to escalate that fast to get it to our beneficiaries. The Bible talks about leaving a legacy for your generation, for your people behind you. I think that is so important that we do that. So I urge everybody to do that. Sit down with their insurance agent. Sit down with their financial advisor and buy life insurance. I appreciate you having me.
Derek, I think getting life insurance is going to probably be easier and simpler than doing a GoFundMe.
Yes, exactly.
So thank you again. This is such an important thing, and I'm so pleased that you and Nationwide considered it important enough to share consistently with our listeners. And we'll be back with you in December.
Yes.
To talk about financial planning for the new year.
Yes. Look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.